From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. What comes to mind when you think about a collision of arts and business? For some, it's a place like that elevator ride between the soundstage and the corporate office at a TV network, reminiscent of the long-standing conflict between suits and talent. For others, the synthesis of arts and business is about creative problem-solving and opportunity. In our own backyard, the Koukalouris Film Festival is officially open. The annual event, now celebrating its 21st birthday, is dropping Film Festival from its title. On today's show, we'll find out why and learn about an original but key part of this year's agenda, Koukalouris Connect, which focuses on creating a space for artists and entrepreneurs to meet. How will that confluence change Koukalouris, and could it, by association, change the Wilmington area? Dan Brawley is a founder of Koukalouris and the current executive director. Dan Brawley, welcome to Coastline.
Thanks for having me.
Sean Alam is director of Tech Mountain, a startup incubator for tech companies. Sean, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we're inviting you to join the conversation. If you have a question for our guests, if you plan to attend Koukalouris this year, tell us about it. Are you going for the film offerings, this year's new entrepreneurial focus? Give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at coastlinehqr. Dan Brawley, what do creativity and the arts have to do with transforming the local economy?
Well, you know, one of the things that I've been thinking about for a long time is that, and one of our goals is to reimagine the role of the artist in the 21st century. There's a 20th century myth of the artist who's marginal, they're stricken with genius, and they create something beautiful, but they're not really a functional, you know, piece of the mechanism of the economy and of the overall society. So we think that in the 21st century, the most compelling artists include filmmakers, but also computer programmers and engineers, people who are at the forefront of science and healthcare. People who are using technology to transform the economy. And so we're expanding the boundaries of Koukalouris to share the stories that those folks have to tell.
And so then why is Film Festival dropping out of the title?
Well, we've been toying for years that we want the brand to be Koukalouris. I don't know that we're totally dropping the word Film Festival, but when people think of the event in November, it's Koukalouris. And it includes a lot of film. I mean, it's a big celebration of cinema, but it's also a place where choreographers are experimenting with film, where people in theater this year. We have two theater pieces that are being presented. We've had musicians for a long time. Our MCs range from poets to comedians to musicians, storytellers. So we're really making space for visionary people of all kinds to take the stage at Koukalouris. And we also think that really fits the 21st century brand for the city of Wilmington. Wilmington has some of the most beautiful geographic features in the world. You couldn't imagine a better place, right? I mean, I see the founders of this city from 275 years ago have left me a great gift, because downtown Wilmington is such a perfect place to stage an event like this. It's walkable, dripping with history, and so we just think it's a perfect time to start sharing that with the rest of the world.
Sean Alam, what is Tech Mountain's role in Koukalouris Connect?
So Tech Mountain is a hub for innovation and entrepreneurship. And so it was formed out of the need from its parent company, Castle Branch, and really to bring new ideas to life. It's a place where new ideas literally come to life every single day. And our founders were very entrepreneurial, and really the number one thing that kills any kind of entrepreneurial effort is loneliness and isolation. And so Tech Mountain exists to bring people together who have vision and a need to create new things to solve real-world problems, and it allows them to do that with other like-minded individuals. And so really That is the purpose, and we really do see this festival being a celebration of what exists in Wilmington and what the potential of Wilmington in the next 15 to 20 years really can be for us.
So over the next several days with Kukulorus Connect, what is Tech Mountain's role?
So we're a founding partner of Kukulorus Connect. Last night we hosted the kickoff party. It was attended by well over 300 people, and it's where we kind of paired up. We have a program called 10x10. We connect 10 entrepreneurs with 10 filmmakers, and they have, 4 to 5 days to make a film about that. And, you know, every business needs to be able to tell their story, right? And so with the world moving to the delivery method of the digital magical phone in your pocket, people consume video through that all the time. It tells the story of your business. And really, we see that the need for creative people to be linked together with business processes and businesses, developing businesses, is a real need in today's society.
Dan Brawley, since I've known you here, there has always been a merging for you in the conversation of arts and the economy. One has always kind of fueled the other in this area. And you created Twinkle Dune more than 20 years ago now?
Well, I rolled into the scene in 1997. So Twinkle Dune was an underground collective of filmmakers who were working on big budget projects at the studios, people like Bo Webb and Adam Alphen and Matt Malloy. A little older than I am, I rolled in the third year, attended my first screenings, and then kept showing up until they gave me a job.
And so now we're talking about Kukulorus Connect and this sort of formalizing that notion of art and the tech sector and innovation and entrepreneurship fueling the economy. Is this partly a response to the loss of the tax rebate film incentive?
That's a good question. You know, we really see it, me and the other core members of the Kukulorus team, as the next step in a straight line that we've been on for a long time. It's not a divergence. We're not jumping off the tracks. The festival was founded as an opportunity for filmmakers to share their work and to connect with each other. Right? So there's no awards. There's no red carpet. And this really, 11 years ago, we launched Dancelorus, testing the boundaries of the film festival model, you know, by basically handing over our opening night event to 12 choreographers. And so we see this as a continuation of that mission to create spaces for people to share stories. And now we've just expanded that to include people who are using real estate and finance and technology to tell stories in new ways. And part of the outcome that we think is possible down the road is that this will be a place where creative people connect on many different levels. So filmmakers meeting people in the business community and then developing projects. So almost like a marketplace for collaboration and partnership across creative boundaries.
And can you give us an example for people who can't quite visualize this? Just sketch out maybe a hypothetical example of that kind of collaboration.
Yeah, so we've got panelists from all different industries who are going to be taking the stage at Ironclad and at Thalian Hall. You know, I really hope that those panelists then go and check out a screening at Kukulorus. We're showing over 260 films. And some of the most incredible filmmakers in the world. Filmmakers come in from Greece and Spain and Canada and all over the U.S. So part of what we hope is that by creating this tight social environment, this temporary community in downtown Wilmington, that those folks are going to meet each other and they're going to develop new ideas, that this will be a place of discovery, you know, where people in the business community discover creative talent and people with creative talent go to these panels and learn some things about business. These days, it's all up to you. As you're an independent filmmaker, you go and you launch a crowdfunding campaign. So you're raising your money by yourself. When you make your film, you navigate the festival circuit on your own. And then you have to distribute it yourself these days because all the tools are right there online. And so we hope that the filmmakers, hundreds of filmmakers who are here, are going to check out some of the panels and workshops that are being led by people from other industries and take those lessons and infuse them with their work.
Sean Alam, at Tech Mountain, you were telling our producer, Isabel Shepherd, about this interesting crossover between art
and business meetings. Can you just talk about what that environment's like and how that happens?
Yeah, sure. So really, we designed Tech Mountain to be a place where you have spaces for quiet ideation, so like office space, but it's very visual and very open. So people often draw on walls, and it really becomes this very visual representation of the thought process behind the creation of a business.
So they draw on the walls.
Windows, walls, whiteboards. I mean, every window in our space is literally a whiteboard. And so when you walk through, it's like you're walking through somebody's thought process in their mind, and it's very visual, and it becomes almost like an art in itself, right? The creation of a business. Everybody does it a little bit differently. I'm sure there's some rules that you need to know in order to create a good business, but you know, it's really the entrepreneurs that go out there and break the rules, right? And so once you understand the rules, you know, I had a writing professor at one point say, you can't break the rules in literature until you really truly understand the grammatical rules that you have to follow, because then really when you break them, that's when it's, you know, done intentionally and done with impact. And so really business kind of takes on those same things. And Dan and I talk about this all the time. It really is this, you know, business can be an art, and it can be a beautiful thing. And, you know, just because it's for a capitalistic kind of gain, it doesn't mean that it can't be for the greater good of society too. So, you know, it crosses almost the borders of social entrepreneurship or, you know, and really it's just a way a person becomes an entrepreneur because they see a problem in society and they want to fix it and they have a better solution for it.
Okay, and I'm going to ask you about social entrepreneurship when we come back and what that is. We're talking with Dan Brawley of Kukalorus and Sean Allam of startup incubator Tech Mountain, and how they're hoping to boost local entrepreneurs and filmmakers. If you have a question for our guests, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can reach us by email at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us using coastlinehqr. We'll be back in 90 seconds. This is Coastline. Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, and with me in the studio, Sean Allam, director of Tech Mountain, and Dan Brawley, executive director of Kukalorus. We're talking about this year's Kukalorus, which is open now, and what could happen when you bring together artists and entrepreneurs. If you have a question for our guests or would like to make a comment about Kukalorus and or the local entrepreneurial scene, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us using coastlinehqr. And Sean Allam, right before we went to break, you had dropped the notion of social entrepreneurship. Is microfinance an example of that for people who haven't really heard the term before? What does that mean?
So I think those are two different terms. Social entrepreneurship, I think the best way to explain that is just to give a really well-known example. So Tom's Shoes, everybody knows the shoes, right? You buy one and you give one away, and it's solving a problem in the world. So there's every time you buy a pair of Tom's Shoes, the owner of the company gives one away to a child or a person in need in a developing country. That's basically social entrepreneurship.
So it's the idea of coming up with something, a product or a service that you can sell that will also have an additional benefit beyond the product or service itself.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, with the proliferation of nonprofit 501c3 organizations now, the funding for those organizations has stayed exactly the same. So people who see world problems and want to solve those world problems now need to do so in a much more creative way. So they form for-profit businesses to solve world problems. And so that's really the definition of social entrepreneurship. Now, microfinancing is something different, which we actually will have a panel on Kukalorus Connect on Thursday evening at 4 p.m. at Bougie Nights. Somebody from the company Seed and Spark, Erica Anderson, will be talking about crowdfunding and how that helps build film and film projects. But, you know, people know about Kickstarter and things of that nature, too. That's really kind of microfinancing. And there's just been some recent regulations released by the SEC. And I think you'll see a lot more microfinancing and investment for startup businesses happening that way online as well.
Mm-hmm. And microfinance is a broad term because I'm also thinking about people who invest in, say, small family that's trying to start a goat farm overseas or something like that. Dan Brawley, how does social entrepreneurship, aside from this panel discussion about
crowdfunding,
how does that factor into Kukalorus Connect? How much a part of this idea is it?
You know, social justice has been a big part of the Kukalorus ethos for years and years. Our Vanguard program this year is dedicated to female filmmakers, so over half of the films in that program are directed by females in the U.S. Our Works in Progress Lab, which is a collection of five projects that are in development, is focused on supporting African-American filmmakers. So we've taken the programs at the festival and become much more explicit about where our values live. And that really is, I think, part of social entrepreneurship, is putting your values out and making them very transparent so that people who are participating in whatever it is, whether you're selling socks or whether you're hosting a film festival and conference, that your values are out front and people can recognize those. And if they relate to those, they join in and they realize that their money is being put in a place that aligns with their values.
Do you think that social entrepreneurs have a leg up on the traditional notion of an entrepreneur?
You know, I mean, I think Kukalorus and artists are extreme entrepreneurs, right? And so I don't know that they have a leg up, but I know that at the end of the day, when they put in 14 hours, they feel better about it, you know? So it's it gives you the inspiration to keep trying, even when what you're doing might be risky and also might not have a huge upside. You know, the Kukalorus Film Foundation is a nonprofit. We take great risks every year by staging a huge event. And the upside, you know, hopefully we'll be around next year, right? That's the upside. Nobody's going to make any money. And so the benefit is spread out through the entire community. And really, it even touches on artists all over the world. So I think that's part of what drives people who are hardcore social entrepreneurs, is knowing that they're having an impact and that their lives reflect their values.
You talk about being around next year and the impact that you have on the community and the local economy. You've actually commissioned studies in the past on the dollar impact of Kukalorus on the local economy.
We have. It's been a few years. I think it was 8 years ago we did our last real study, and I'm sure we're on the verge of another one. One of the reasons that we decided to launch Connect, and one of the factors that played into the decision-making, was the fact that the infrastructure of downtown is changing in the most significant way, certainly since the founding of Kukalorus in 1994. You know, from 1994 to 2013, the number of hotel rooms in downtown Wilmington was pretty constant. And now, within the next 3 years, there'll be twice as many. And so we see that as an opportunity. That's been one of the limitations to the growth of Kukalorus. And so we want to bring, for a week in November, we want to bring artists and visionary people in the business community, put them in beds in downtown Wilmington, and see what happens. It's kind of like it's a laboratory for building relationships. And so we're excited about that potential.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with Dan Brawley and Sean Allam about Kukalorus and Kukalorus Connect, a critical new component of this year's agenda. If you have a question for our guests, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. Sean Allam, you've defined social entrepreneurship. Creative entrepreneurship is something else that comes up when you're talking about innovation. Mm-hmm. What is that?
You know, I think entrepreneurs at their very root are creative people. Again, I think that to be able to look at a world's problem and be able to capitalize on that is such an art and a gift. Not everybody has that. And so, you know, I look at the skill sets that are needed to be an entrepreneur, and they're entirely different than the skill sets that, you know, you get in an MBA program and you come out and you're ready to run a Fortune 500 company and manage that company. You have to be willing to look at market trends and pivot on a regular basis. You have to tell your story on a regular basis. You have to network and connect with potential investors and potential clients and customers. And literally most of these people are doing this as a one or two man show. And to be able to creatively handle all those problems and produce a product that goes to market and sells and makes money and changes ultimately the marketplace, that's a revolutionary process that few people get to experience in their lives. And so really at the root of it, you know, I think about it as a storyteller or a filmmaker. You know, there's those movies. Not everybody gets to make a movie and tell their story. And there's those certain films that, you know, just change your life and move you forever in ways that you don't think when they made it, they didn't even expect it to change people in that direction. And so I really think entrepreneurship and the film community and the storytelling that happens in both worlds really kind of walks hand in hand.
And I have to say, Sheila Brothers at Wilmywood.
Yes. Hey, Sheila.
Shout out to you, Dan. Wilmywood loves Dan. Just have to say that on the air.
Thank you.
You're listening to Coastline, and we're talking about Kukalorus, Kukalorus Connect this year. Here to answer your questions, Kukalorus Executive Director Dan Brawley and Tech Mountain Director Sean Allam. You can give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send us an email at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at coastlinehqr. UNCW, you were going to say something?
Yeah. So, you know, a big shout out back to Sheila Brothers, a lot of love. And she's one of those folks who's been part of the film community here for a long time. You know, what happened in the early 90s, filmmakers were the first generation of screen babies, really, right? The first generation of kids who grew up watching television. I remember watching HBO when it came on at 4 p.m. and all morning we would watch the schedule scroll. And I remember when HBO went to 24 hours, it was a big deal, right? We could watch movies in the morning. You know, so a whole generation of artists were coming of age in the early 90s who had grown up watching television. And so when they started telling stories, they grabbed 16-millimeter cameras and VHS camcorders. And so film festivals started popping up all over the country. Kukalorus was at the very forefront of that, really early in the film festival movement starting in 1994 because of what Dino De Laurentiis brought to Wilmington in the 80s. We think the same thing is happening right now in terms of entrepreneurship. So you have the first generation is coming of age that grew up on computers, on the internet, with cell phones, you know. So it's like they have a whole new way of looking at the world, a whole new way of solving problems. And so our shift or our expansion into this world and with Kukalorus Connect really reflects what's happening in the world in Wilmington, but also all over the world, is that a new generation of entrepreneurs are coming of age who have learned, like they're natives, right? They're digital natives, and they've learned these tools. And so they have ideas that none of us could have even dreamed of.
And it's interesting, too, because I heard somebody comment a few days ago about Kukalorus Connect. Okay, so that's – you're either a filmmaker or some kind of tech head. But they're really – we're starting to see that merging of just about every sector with technology. Those things can't be separate anymore. Yeah. Sean Allam?
Yeah, sure. So I heard just this morning in one of the Connect panels that every business – is really a technology business. There's no business that exists without technology. And what I don't want people to leave with is the idea that this is a tech conference. It is not a tech conference. It is a place where people who work maybe in technology, but maybe they're just an entrepreneur out there. Maybe they have a business that is, you know, they're on their own and they're trying to start their business. This is a place for them to come and learn and connect with other people that are doing the exact same thing. And whether your business is in film or you're creating, you know, baby bottles, or you're out there creating new software systems, or you're providing new platforms for real estate people to invest in, you know, you're all going through the same process, and you're all going through and facing a lot of the same challenges. And this is a place for you to come together and celebrate that challenge and celebrate the solutions to those challenges.
And you, Kukalores Connect even has all of these panels focused on industries or sectors that may not previously have been considered technological sectors, and you have an event. I think, did you call it a nerd cocktail event? Usually those two ideas don't go together.
Well,
but
there's a lot of nerds who are into cocktails these days. We have about 5 or 6 different events that are about cocktails and brewing. We have a panel discussion about the legal landscape for brewing in North Carolina that should be really interesting and informative. Yeah, we've launched a program called Cooktails. And so there's a barrel aging workshop on Saturday night where you can learn about, and barrel aging meaning like you can go buy a little barrel yourself and mix a cocktail, pour it in your barrel, and then 2 weeks later when your friends come over for your party, you've got like a custom aged cocktail to serve. Really excited about some of those things. People are being incredibly creative in the world of cocktails. So there'll be a couple of places where people will learn about bitters. There'll be a bourbon tasting where you can learn about the nuances of different flavors of bourbon. We're excited to be launching that program this year. A lot of those events will take place at Bougie Nights. But those drinks will be served at several different places, Ironclad, Ziggy's.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with Dan Brawley, Executive Director of Kukalores, and Sean Ollum, Director of Tech Mountain, about Kukalores Connect. And we have an email question from Adam. He says, with all the film talent in Wilmington, how can local businesses capitalize on getting commercials made?
Yeah, and that's been a big conversation that we've been having for 20 years now in the Kukalores world. We hope that people from the business community are being sort of sucked into the Kukalores world this week through some of the Connect events, and that they'll get excited enough to walk into some of the film screenings and meet some of the filmmakers. That's really critical, we think, to this experiment being successful, is that there's a real blending. You know, we don't want this to be separate. We don't want Connect to be a separate entity from the film part of the festival. And so you'll see a lot of the Connect events integrate film in some way. We have a panel discussion tomorrow with a filmmaker named Ondi Timoner, who's made a documentary called The Last Mile about an entrepreneurship program at the San Quentin prison. And it's a fascinating story. A couple of very successful startups have been launched through that program. And you're talking about people who have been in prison sometimes for 10 years, and so they've never even been on the internet. And so here so you're bringing new ideas to a place that's pretty isolated, and cool things are happening.
What kinds of entrepreneurs come out of that situation?
The most successful one will be here, actually, tomorrow morning, Horatio Hartz, who's sort of the poster child of the program at San Quentin. And he'll be there to tell you all about his business.
What kind of business did he start?
That is a really good question.
Okay. Don't have that right. I know you have a million events and people to keep floating around in that brain.
So yes.
You do have some impressive, recognizable speakers lined up. Chris Hively, the founder of MapQuest.
Yes. Chris is doing great things in Durham with a startup factory and has visited Wilmington a couple of times. We're really excited to have him on the stage. He's one of those people who is redefining entrepreneurship in North Carolina. And we've got one of the technology founders of eHarmony talking about how data is being used, which is absolutely fascinating. Some folks who are in local companies are also sort of in that same subsector where they're using data to connect people to all sorts of things, to each other, to their favorite beers, to their favorite wines. A lot of really cool people. And then we also really love the people that no one's heard of. And that's where I think the real meat of this is there are people giving pitches every morning on the main stage at Thalian. So they're throwing their ideas out there. I mean, you talk about putting yourself out there in front of an audience, sharing your idea and getting feedback. And to me, those are the stars of Kukalores Connect, are the people that you've never heard of who have new ideas and are on the stage sharing them.
And who is likely to hear these ideas? Sean Ollum, are they hoping to get some kind of angel funding from this, or what's happening?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the reasons that we are putting this conference together is because we want to bring that kind of spotlight to the city of Wilmington. Chris Hively is a perfect example of that. You know, having people like that come to this community and have access to that venture capital and that angel capital, and educating the people in the city of Wilmington who have those kinds of funds and how to reinvest back into startup businesses in Wilmington is a big goal, right? So we want that kind of ecosystem to start to develop and be more defined here in Wilmington. It's already starting to take place. There's committees like Innovate North Carolina that has a presence here in southeastern North Carolina. You know, there's just a lot of activity around this. And so having that come here, and really what it is those in the Port City pitch section, we have companies that are actually starting to be successful, right? So they're scaling up. They've started up. Now they're scaling up.
Can you give us some quick examples of those companies that we've heard of as startups and now they're getting to the next phase?
Yeah. So Mimi, I always butcher their name.
Mimi
so
Jumi.
Mimi Jumi, you know, they're doing really well. You know, they're one of the most recognizable baby bottles out there. And what a great concept. And they're redefining a marketplace that's been stagnant for a really long time. And so there's another great pitch that we saw this morning called Tack Laces that was, you know, the owner of Elite Innovations here in town. He was in the military and had this event happen to him while he was active duty. Happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there as well. But he had this event happen to him, and he wasn't able to get his shoes on time. And really, he invented new shoelaces for military combat people that now he's recognizing there's a market space in the hunting and fishing and outdoor recreation sports world. So those are really great examples of people redefining the marketplace for their products and services, and they're pitching right here on the stage. And who knows who's going to see their product, right? There could be a venture capitalist out there that wants to step in and help finance and grow their company.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. Today we're talking about that place where business and the arts collide. With us to answer your questions, Dan Brawley of Kukulorus and Sean Ollum of Tech Mountain. Have you seen evidence before Kukulorus Connect of local arts and business coming together? Give us a call and tell us about it, 910-343-1138. Email us at coastline@whqr.org. This is Coastline. Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, and with us now in the studio, Sean Ollum of Tech Mountain and Dan Brawley of Kukulorus. If you'd like to ask either of our guests a question, you have a few minutes left to do that. You can either give us a call at 910-343-1138, email us at coastline@whqr.org, or tweet us at coastlinehqr. And I was about to ask a question earlier about UNCW's Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship and what their role is in that. The CIE is also an incubator for startups and produce all kinds of events in support of entrepreneurs locally. What is the difference between what Tech Mountain does and what the CIE does in this area? And what are they doing with this conference?
Yeah. So number one, the CIE isn't, you know, they're also a founding partner, Kukulorus Connect. They're instrumental in this. I think the idea started with people from the CIE, the 10x10 contest last year, and then the Coastline Connect conference that they put on last year. And this really is an organic growth step into the next phase of what was ideated last year. So it's truly entrepreneurial, an idea, put something out, see the reaction of your product on the marketplace, take that feedback back in, and then start to pivot and make changes to that product in some sort of way. And so really this is kind of our thought process of redefining what happened last year and moving forward into the future. So the people at the CIE are absolutely instrumental. The university is, you know, the knowledge center of our community, and so without them, this wouldn't be possible. And so, There is a slight difference between what the CIE does and what Tech Mountain does. If you are out there and you have a company and you you have an idea for a company, you go to the CIE. That's where you ideate. That's where they teach you about lean startup and customer discovery and product development and all those types of things. At Tech Mountain, really what we do is we have co-working space for companies that are already defined and have a product and are moving. So they are already startups and they're starting to scale out and they're needing the economies of scale of a larger business to be able to help them scale. And so there's a slight difference between the two places.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with Sean Ollam from Tech Mountain and Dan Brawley of Kukaloris about where arts and the economy collide and Kukaloris connect, a new part of the festival this year. Paul, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you. Hey, Dan. Hello.
Hey, Paul.
Good to hear on the big box. I was wondering if you wouldn't mind discussing to whatever level it's comfortable for you, the impact of Kukaloris itself as a technology and an event on the Wilmington economy, and then in the spirit of what you're doing with collaborations, what you might be able to share in terms of how you plan or how you need help in expanding that footprint. Thanks a lot.
All right, Paul.
Hey, thanks,
thank
Paula.
You.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, one of the great things that happens in November is that people come from all over the country and even all over the world to visit Wilmington. Our survey from last year, I think, identified 81 cities that people visited Wilmington, and we're talking California, you know, all over the map, really. It's really exciting to see all those people discovering our city. And some of those people come back. Great story over the last 2 years. At last year's festival, a filmmaker named Jackie Olive was part of our Works in Progress lab with her documentary Always in Season. And she was a great fit for the festival. We had a great time getting to know her during the festival. She then applied for our residency program and spent 3 months living on campus. At our Jingo's Playhouse campus has expanded recently. We have three houses. We have filmmakers and other artists coming through town, staying anywhere from 1 week to 4 months, working on new projects. So Jackie came to town for the residency program, continued to work on her project, and she made some really powerful connections in Wilmington. And she moved here. So the last week of her residency, she found a place to live in Wilmington. And so she was living in Florida and has relocated to Wilmington.
Which is one of the goals of both CIE and Tech Mountain, I would imagine, and Kukaloris Connect is helping talented entrepreneurial types stay here.
Yeah, we want to keep our talent in Wilmington and we want to expand the talent pool. The festival itself is a great training program for graduates. We have students coming out of UNCW and Cape Fear Community College who work at Kukaloris. They get job titles they're not going to get anywhere else. They get a lot of responsibility. We throw them right into the deep end of the pool and we scream swim. What we do is we're holding that talent here just a little bit longer. And a few of those folks discover after a couple of years in the Kukaloris training program that, oh, man, I really do love Wilmington. You know, I went to school here, and that was one part of my experience. And now I'm an adult, and I'm really enjoying it. And then they find jobs. And we want to expand that as much as we can so that we're not losing so much of our creative talent when people graduate or when they hit the glass ceiling. You know, I hit that ceiling and decided to push it up as much as I could myself, you know. But I easily, you know, maybe even 10 years ago, could have moved to a bigger city where jobs in the arts and in the cultural sector are more they're just more opportunities. But I loved Wilmington. I loved being able to drive to the beach on my lunch break and jump in the water. And so I wasn't leaving. My parents were here. And so we want to continue to create more opportunities for people to stay in Wilmington, and we think this festival and the conference is one of the ways that that'll happen.
One part of this year's festival that we haven't talked about that we have to get to, the virtual reality lounge. What is this?
Man, you want to talk about the next level. Virtual reality, I put on my first Oculus headset, I think, 4 years ago at Sundance. It was a little bit disorienting. It was kind of not a novelty. And now the technology has just gone to another level. When you put on the new Gear VR headset, it's a wireless headset. It's really easy to put on. You actually slip a phone into it, and that's how you're watching stuff. 2-3 weeks ago, I watched the very first live virtual reality broadcast of the Democratic presidential debate. And for several days afterwards, without even thinking about it, I told people that I went to the debate. You know, and I could sit there with my headset on. I was in my living room with my headset on, and I could turn around, and I spent a good bit of time looking at the audience. I wasn't really interested in what the candidates were saying too much. It really is a profoundly different kind of experience.
So what were some of the things that you could – you said you were looking at the audience. What else could you see that the television viewer wasn't going to be seeing?
You could see the cameras that CNN was using to broadcast it on television. You could see the audience. Like there was a woman who got up three times to go to the bathroom and a guy who kept playing with his handkerchief. You know, you could see everything that was happening in the room. It was like being there. And so I think there's a great potential for virtual reality in terms of broadcasts. There are also tons of artists making really cool projects.
And how do you make a film that way? Where does the crew go?
They have to disappear completely because the capture units for virtual reality are 360. So there are these camera arrays. And one of the things that's happened is because cameras have gotten so small, VR capture has become much easier. And we're just on the verge of it being really attainable for consumers. You know, a guy, I think maybe in New Zealand, just developed a VR capture unit that is about the size of a grapefruit. And so you can sit that on your table and grandma can come to, you know, Jenny's sixth birthday party, you know, with her VR headset.
Okay. And so for folks who aren't able to picture this, they've never seen, are we talking about essentially a ball that has lots of little cameras pointing at in different directions?
It's like if you took a hot glue gun and stuck a bunch of GoPros on a soccer ball. And so you're getting really a 360 view. And you can just sit, like you might be looking at a VR project on a beach. If you want to, you can just sit and look up at the sky the whole time and just ignore the waves and whatever. It really is. You choose what you get part of your experience. We'll have 10 headsets, I think maybe 8 to 10 headsets in the VR lounge. We'll be sharing a range of different projects, two projects that were produced by the United Nations, one called Clouds Over Sidra about Syrian refugees, beautiful short story told by a young girl who's a refugee, another one called Waves of Grace, and Chris Milk and the United Nations and a lot of people in the world of social justice really think that the immediacy of virtual reality has great potential for changing the way people see the world. I can assure you, when you look at Waves of Grace, you're surrounded by these kids in an African village, and I was really moved. I cried a couple of times. I was worried that my headset might get wet from all the crying. But it really, in a way that watching a film is a static experience. It's on a wall, and it's a fixed space. When you put a virtual reality headset on, you really do travel to another place. And it's really powerful. We're excited. The first 150 people who come to the VR lounge will get a free cardboard. So any phone, you can download an app on your phone, and you can watch tons of different stuff through a headset and get a 360 kind of virtual experience. And so we'll be giving those away, and people can come and check out the fancy headsets that we have in the lounge.
And before we get to, you actually have an interesting announcement that you are going to make later today that I'd like to ask you about here. And I'm talking about Wednesday. For those of you listening to the rebroadcast on Saturday, this will be old news by then. But I want to ask you quickly about the gender gap in the entrepreneurial world and also in filmmaking. Sean Alam, do you see a big gap? Are we mostly talking about a world of men?
This is so funny because we had a full conversation about this at one of our Kukaloris Connect planning meetings, because when I was asked to describe the typical entrepreneur, I basically described a male with a shoulder bag and, you know, unshaven face and kind of unkempt hair, right? And so but really in the tech world, you know, it's almost 90% male. And so we're really doing a lot of things to focus and really empower women at Tech Mountain. We certainly support. One of our staff members is one of the founding members of Cape Fear Women in Tech, and a couple other of the women in our Castle Branch family are also on that board. So we really, when we were building the Connect Conference, we did a couple of things. We have a Women in Technovation happening on Friday at 1, where successful women in technology, communications, and business and product development are going to come together and talk about what makes them successful and how they can empower other women to be successful in this arena. And then we also are doing the Innovate Her Pitch competition, where women business owners are pitching their businesses forward, so that really we're putting the spotlight on them during this event.
Okay. Dan Brawley, later on Wednesday, you will be talking about, and I'm seeing like a big inhale right now for our listeners, what are you going to be telling people that they will be something of a game changer in this area?
You know, for 20 years, we've supported filmmakers by showcasing their work, by connecting them with audiences. And with our Works in Progress program, we've gotten our hands dirty in the development process and helping people who have projects at various stages of production. And later today, through a partnership with the North Carolina Film Office, we will enter the world of financing. So with the state support, we are creating a fund, an independent filmmakers fund called Filmed in NC, which will support projects with budgets under $250,000. We'll give out a range of different awards, to ranging from $500 to $3,000 for filmmakers who live in North Carolina who are making films in North Carolina. You know, so this goes hand in hand with the larger grant that goes to big budget projects, which is a top-down approach to cultivating North Carolina as a place that really has deep film industry roots.
Right now, the focus at the state level is on luring potentially television series and that sort of thing, well-established.
Yeah, which has a huge impact on the indie community, right? Because people are working on those projects and getting paychecks, and then in their spare time, they're making their own projects. And this program starts to inject that money directly at the bottom level, right, at filmmakers, emerging filmmakers, but also established filmmakers who work outside of the studio system. So we're really excited. The application form will go live December 1st, and later today at the Connect Social Hour, Guy Castor from the North Carolina Film Office and I will share with the public that we're launching this fund to support filmmakers in North Carolina who man, the future of film in North Carolina comes from filmmakers who are at that level, who are making their first film. And we want them to remember North Carolina as the place that helped them get started.
And so part of the criteria for getting this grant would be being a North Carolina resident.
You have to be a North Carolina resident. 80% of the production expenses have to be in North Carolina. You can also be a full-time student at a college or university in North Carolina, as long as you're also residing there at that, you know, within the state. So it really is. It's for North Carolina filmmakers, and we're super excited. It's the logical progression for our relationship with filmmakers in North Carolina, who we've supported, you know, for 20 years with everything we've got. And now we have a little something else to throw into the mix.
So this is essentially a local film incentive.
It is. That's right. It's a film incentive that will spur a different kind of production and support, you know, really high quality works on a part of the industry that gets ignored a lot. And really, you want to talk about entrepreneurs. The people making films, low budget films, are hardcore entrepreneurs. They're finding resources in hidden spaces and leftover resources that nobody else is paying attention to. And the economic impact is incredible. So we think with a really small amount of money, right, injected at, you know, into the industry at this level, we can have an impact that'll live on for years and years.
Okay, very briefly, just a few seconds left. If folks are listening on Saturday, what are some highlights that they can see Saturday night and Sunday?
Well, we've got a barrel aging workshop Saturday night, which should be a lot of fun. Sunday afternoon, the film Waffle Street, which stars James Lafferty, he'll be in attendance to tell that story, and tons of good stuff. Check out our website, kukulorus.org. 147 events. There's something for everybody, so please come check out some stuff this week.
That's this edition of Coastline. I'd like to thank our guests, Sean Ollum and Dan Brawley. Thanks to all of you who called and emailed, and those of you who tweeted us. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Join us next week for 27 Views of Wilmington. That's next week, Wednesday, November 18th at 12:06 here on HQR News 91.3 FM. Our producer is Isabel Shepherd. Our technical director is Ken Campbell. Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. If you missed part of today's show, look for it on our website at whqr.org or download the podcast from the iTunes Store. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.